Here is a man that loves a lake of his own here, Waskasoo, up there in north central Saskatchewan. Here's Mike Babcock. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Our pleasure. Darren Millard along with Jeff Merrick and Chris Johnson. First, an update on Mitch Marner.
Day-to-day upper body.
Will he play tomorrow?
If the coach is deciding yes. If the doctors, I don't know. So we'll wait till tomorrow.
Did you have to tell him to go to the room the other night, or was that one where he just went, I can't go anymore?
Him and the trainers. Let's get one thing straight. I'm never telling anyone to go to the room.
Okay. I'm just curious, one other housekeeping note, and then I'll hand it off to Jeff and Chris. But the other night, there was the play in the first goal where it got tangled up in Curtis's pads. And we were wondering, geez, do you challenge on that? Because it looked like they pushed him in. Do you didn't get a feed of the play-by-play angle or that one angle that showed him being pushed in?
We got the, I don't know which angle we got. You know, I got whatever angle I got. I looked at it, and I didn't think it was pushed in. When I saw the second angle after the play had started, then I thought he might have got pushed in. When I looked at it afterwards, to be honest with you, and I spent quite a bit of time on it, I thought we made a bad play, and I thought it was a good goal. And now, would I have challenged it if I'd seen the second one sooner? Might have. But in hindsight, if I was doing it all over again, did I think they would have overturned it? No, but I still might have challenged it.
Mike, we see you looking down there often. Obviously, there weren't monitors on the bench the whole time you've been in the NHL. I mean, how much are you using that television at your feet there?
Well, I use it on those plays. We use it for the offside. You know, it would be nice if it wasn't at your feet. You weren't looking down there, but it is. I like it better there than behind me. Is it a good thing, a bad thing? I don't have a clue, you guys, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. And what we try to do is the guys that are in their office for us have better screens than us. We're trying to go off their lead.
Mike, curious, and maybe the jump-off point for this is a player like Jake Gardiner. In your mind, how do you make the decision when someone is ready to face tougher competition, when you want to sort of bump them up in the lineup a little bit, face, you know, like a top line every now and then? What goes into making that decision?
Well, what happens is as much as you want the perfect matchup every single night, you never, ever get the perfect matchup based on, an ice scene or whatever. Then you see those guys in the situations that you wouldn't have thought maybe it was perfect for them, and if they handle it, you go with it. But I think Gardner's come a million miles. You know, he's one of these guys that people love not to like at times, but he's such a great breakout machine. He moves the puck so good. Now, does he do some things high risk? Yes. But he really can move the puck, and he doesn't spend a whole lot of time in his zone. And some nights when he's not as good, he spends too much time in his own zone.
How much better is Nikita Zaitsev now than he was at the start of the year?
Hmm. Well, that's a great question. Here's the question I asked Lou the other day. Where would we be if we didn't have this guy? Hmm. You know, flat out, he's playing in our number one pair. He's playing all the matchup minutes. He's a competitive guy, block shots, cross checks, really nice, gets points for you. I think he's a really good player. I just we're just lucky we got him, to tell you the truth. And he's such a quality teammate, and takes his profession so seriously. It's been a huge coup for us to have him.
What did you think of him in the World Cup?
Well, I liked him at the World Championship. So obviously, we saw him the summer before and talked to him, and we spent all last year on the phone with him and texting him and working him to try to get him to come. And then I really liked him last year at the Worlds. I mean, I thought Russia had a good team in the World Cup, but until you get him here and until you play him every day in the NHL, I've been wrong on so many guys, it's not even funny. And so to think it's easy to say they're going to transfer and they're going to come right in and do what they're capable of doing, it's not as easy. So you don't know how competitive the guy is until you have him every single day, and that's what's got him over the top here.
To shift you a little way, Coach, from hockey for a moment, I'm thinking you're almost 2 years now living in the city of Toronto, you know, maybe not quite that long, but you know, what's that experience been like for you, maybe versus what you thought coming in and you know, how it's been for you and your wife?
Well, the biggest thing for me is coming here, as much as we came to Toronto, I didn't spend a whole lot of time in the city and didn't know how great it was. For my wife and I, because our kids are all gone now, it's been an absolute home run. We're fortunate we live in the city, and there's so many things going on in the city that the city's spectacular. There's lots to do. But my favorite thing about it is how crazy the people are for the Leafs. You know, I was real fortunate. I was in Anaheim when the team was really good there. We lost in the Cup Final, and the town was fired up. I was in Detroit, and we had an amazing run. But this is a whole new level of fans loving their team and wanting to support their team. And so it's so imperative that we get this team to its rightful place. I just think the city is spectacular for the Leafs, and the following we have couldn't be any better. This is going to be a hotbed for hockey again. For players are going to want to come here. It's that special a place.
You know, I think a lot of people have a similar experience in pretty much any NHL market around Canada. But I was, when I was a kid, one of my greatest thrills, playing really early, High Park, west end of the city, just out for a skate with my dad, with only two people on the rink, and Boreas Salming and Jim McKenney came out and played with us for about an hour. And I, Mike, I still talk about it to this day. Do you ever do that? Like, I know you're really busy, but do you ever just say, you know what, I'm taking the wheels out to the local park and going for an outdoor skate with the kids?
I got them in my truck, and I can see the rink from my condo, and I just walk down there and go. It's awesome. So my son and I, he was here at Christmas, he's a college hockey player. There's kids playing on it. I could see it out the window. I said, grab your stuff. So we got there. There was a father-son game going on. We just put our stuff on and said, joined the dads and played with the dads. It was great. You know, all those things are spectacular. That to me, obviously, is the different part of Canada is that, you know, you grew up like that. I can still remember living on 15 Wapoose Bay in Leaf Rapids, Manitoba, sliding down the back hill, going down to the Beaver Dam and playing with my buddies. Like it was, I can remember that like it was yesterday. That's all part of being here.
The best part is, though, you don't need it to be freezing to have those rinks, because they got the artificial outdoor rinks. That was when I first moved here from Manitoba. I thought, geez, this is great. You can be above zero and you can go out there and twirl. How'd you play there at Christmas time? Did you finish?
Oh, I was dialed in. You can bet on it.
Just a quick comment on Nazem Kadri, because under your tutelage, we've seen real strides with this player off the ice and then on the ice, that there was a lot of questions whether he could reach this level.
Well, I think Naz is just starting his journey. He's way better than he's planned. He can be way better. He's going to start dominating the face-off circle, which is important for him. And better in the face-off circle, will continue to get better without the puck, and in doing so, will end up scoring more. So he's a kid, to me, he took a huge step this summer with his training, has to take another step again this summer with his training. And then he's got a lot of growth potential. So I'm impressed with him because he's a bit nasty. He's competitive at game time. He's learning to work harder every day. He's becoming a better pro, and he's a big part of our team.
Is he legit in the sulky conversation, in your estimation, Mike?
Well, this is what I would tell you. When that first got talked about, I said to him, you really want to win that trophy? And he said, absolutely, one day I'd like to win that trophy. And I said, well, then we got lots of work to do. But if he wants to win it, I'm going to do everything I can to help.
So did he bring up the Selke, or did you?
Well, just, I don't know who brought it up. Someone might have been busting his chops over it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
One of the boys, and I happened to be in earshot, so I grabbed him.
So do you, how do you practice right now? How do you coach when you're playing every second day the way you guys are over the next month?
Well, we've been fortunate this last week. We just had two good practices. So we had one here after a day off and one earlier in the week after a day off. That would be the first practices. I really thought where we started losing touch of our game was when we went to the bye week. We came back and kind of, you know, we want to be all positive. And then, boom, after the All-Star break, came back. And then, to me, over a period of time, our structure left our team a little bit. I'm optimistic we can get our structure and our work ethic and our skating back through having some good practices. And then, obviously, I mean, you got to be fresh for games. You got to be smart about what you're doing.
Coming off that loss in Columbus, Mike, did you have any sort of specific points you were trying to hammer home at practice today leading into your game with Ottawa?
100%. I mean, I watched the Ottawa game last night. I liked Ottawa's game last night. I really was impressed. I thought they did a good job. So we, you know, showed some clips from our last game and some from Ottawa and prepared specifically to have success. I think one of the biggest things is understanding how you have to play versus how you want to play. And we're not in junior anymore. There's no space out there. You know, we're not in college anymore. There's no space out there. We're not in the American League. There's no space. Understand there's no space. So how are we going to create it and make plays and be on the winning side. So that's one of the biggest things that we go over on a daily basis.
No, you're a great skier. Have you gotten into the wake surfing yet?
You know what? My kids do a lot of the surfing. I do it a couple times a year just to say I do, but I got to tell you, I love the slalom course, so I'm on that every day.
And you're winding around the buoys towards the playoff spot right now. Keep it going, and thanks for the visit.
Darren, Jeff, Chris, thanks for having me on, guys. Have a great day.